I think one of the historical concerns about federal acquisition is that it takes so long that sometimes by the end of the competition, a older technology is being delivered up. Though we can't solve all of the problems of federal acquisition in a program our size, the one thing we can make sure is that the latest technology is evaluated, reflected in our formal statements of work to industry, and ultimately are reflected in the products and services that are on the GSA schedules, the continuous monitoring as a service providers. So all of those things are involved in the Leap Ahead program. We understand that it's a sequence of activity of finding those trends, but ultimately if those products are not on the GSA schedules of our CMAS teams, they're not available to our customers. So we're trying to, by way of introduction and making sure our statements of work do not preclude the use of latest technology, the combination of activity will ideally bring the highest value for the lowest cost to get the CDM program where it needs to be.
You've had about 18 technologies come through the Leap Ahead. What about them stood out to you? I don't know if you could talk more specifics about what kinds of technologies, but if you could just offer some perspective in terms of when and how this gets folded into CDM.
So what our process does is collect up all of the contacts and all of the reading and reviewing assessment of formal research services and sitting down with the companies in this structured setting so that we're ready to take advantage of what's coming. As our future directions include shared services, we've been looking at a number of the mechanisms to accomplish cybersecurity in a shared service environment, a cloud environment. Important to the use of many commercial offerings is the level of protection, which is provided to stored data and data in motion. And those are examples of some of the products that we've found that can increase the protection on sensitive data, including those that would be stored in commercial environments. So all of those things are happening, and I think as our dialogue with industry continues, it's become clear that many of our fine integrators and vendors know of these technologies and are quite anxious to bid them to the government requirements. So I think very fruitful processes in the works here.
John, you also talked about another program that's just kicking off, a critical system resilience effort. That seems fascinating. It seems to take the concept of network security like FedRAMP and moving it to other disciplines. Talk a little bit about that program, please.
Well, this is one of all of the things I mentioned today, which is the most future-oriented. It could appear in our budgets in FY17 or later, but in order to prepare for those future budget events, we have to begin thinking about it now. Our goals and objectives here are, rather than a centrally funded program to protect the custom software and the sensitive data of government, we would instead create a mechanism by which we would organize the security protections which are already underway in the 23 CFO Act reporting agencies. So what we think will be most cost-effective is to take the methods and approaches that we're using in the CDM program and ultimately create a portal, a place where the custom software developers and those that are running websites can come to get cost-effective security technologies that could post their results on our current dashboard, and access to specialized labor so that the end objective of protecting sensitive information can be facilitated. All of this is yet to come, but in our reading of what's happening in the wider environment in the United States, it's quite clear that the number of incidents is increasing. Therefore, the urgency of protecting sensitive data needs to keep apace.
Is this being done anywhere in government currently, even on a small scale, or outside of government that maybe you could look at and say we can model our process after? And I know you're a few years out still.
There's 6,000 moderate and 1,200 high systems across government. Under the Federal Information Security Management Act, each of these program managers are responsible for maintaining security currently. So there are many tools out there, but the trouble is that keeping pace with the best available techniques and getting those new capabilities at a cost-effective rate is something that we don't have a centralized provision for. So that's where critical system resilience comes in, to stand between the needs of the many custom software developers and those that develop systems to hold the sensitive data of government and give them a helping hand to protect their own areas of responsibility.
The status of CDM, agencies are you're moving forward. There's been a lot of discussion about delays and pauses and strategic pauses, and there's an 8 to 10 to 12 week strategic pause. Explain what's going on, because I think there's a lot of confusion.
Yeah. Well, very pleased to report to you that now 98% of the government has signed formal memorandums of agreement to do CDM. And the very same sequence and schedule that we discussed with the 17 pre-qualified bidders under the continuous monitoring as a service contract is on track and being implemented. I did see the reports that suggested that there was in fact a delay in the schedule, and in fact that's not correct information, and the best thing we can do is to stay in close touch with GSA FedSIM, but all signals are positive. We plan to implement the program that we discussed with industry. When I see comments like this, my reaction is probably the same as some, that I wish the entire process would move faster. But the federal procurement mechanism is one that gives everyone an equal chance to compete that have won the contract, and we have to go through those steps deliberately. Good news is that we're on track.
There's been some discussion in industry about a strategic pause, again, 8 to 10 to 12 week pause, to relook at some of the lessons learned. One thing that I think people get confused about is when you talk schedule, you're talking about when will the award be made, and that award scheduled date could be, as you said, January, February, March, whenever it is, as compared to what people expect. So is it an expectations management on your end that is the confusion?
No, the program is being implemented as exactly as it was originally communicated to the 17 pre-qualified vendors. We have not deviated from that schedule. There are no delays. There are apparently a group of individuals that wish it were going faster, but the reality is that we are doing exactly what we originally communicated to industry, and there has been no change in execution against the original schedule.
You mentioned the small and micro agencies. What's interesting is you also talked about potential shared services from a CDM perspective. Is there anything more you can talk a little bit about that, maybe how that may work, or what's the process involved?
Well, we're at that early stage where we're beginning to discuss requirements with the small and micro agencies, and the initial group of small and micros are interested in piloting the concept of shared services. Those conversations are just beginning. I would expect this conversation on CDM, delivered up in a shared service environment, to follow all of the previous CDM activities, where there'll be an initial definition of requirements, feedback from those that might benefit from the service, and then formal interaction with industry that we partner with to get some of our specific conclusions. So I think this is the beginning of what will be a longer conversation, but from the perspective of me and those in the CDM program, one that's very beneficial and very appropriate to the changing directions of technology.
Is DHS giving guidance to agencies, and when I'll use the term guidance loosely, not official guidance, but helping agencies understand what they can and can't or should or shouldn't talk about when it comes to cyber? Because I've had people in the industry just say to me, well, we went to talk to CIO X, and he says or she says, well, we can't talk about that because that falls under CDM. And they kind of scratch their heads thinking, why wouldn't they be able to talk about this cyber issue, whether it's CDM or not? Is there anything DHS is doing to ensure that the communication is flowing from government to industry and vice versa, so there's no artificial blocks?
Well, there are many different kinds of communication about cybersecurity that are occurring. Most of the concerns that directly related to CDM that I think you're referencing are the requests of industry to be discussing acquisition-sensitive information and be marketing their technologies and specialized labor to the departments and agencies. Federal procurement rules have a time and place for that. A number of the companies are most comfortable talking to the historical clients that they've had, and we're anxious to see, you know, those formal technical competitions come to a conclusion. We really can't change the basic parameters of federal acquisition. If there's acquisition-sensitive information to discuss, we have a responsibility under law and regulation to have every one of the potential competing vendors, not just the one that knows the people locally, enter into conversations about particular needs or capabilities. So this falls into area which is not really subject to change. If the topic is a requirement or an incident, every vendor needs an equal chance. We can't do that any way other than the formal procurement process which is in place.